Well, it is an honor that you would take time to be with us as we just lift up the name of Jesus across our whole entire city, across all of our campuses at CCV. And as we launch into week two of this series, Wind and Fire, I thought I'd start by asking you a question. How many of you would just, participate across all of our campuses? Raise your hand. How many of you would say that you know about, you don't have to understand, you don't have to be able to explain it. How many of you have heard of the pituitary gland? You just have heard of the pituitary gland. Okay, most of us in the audience. How many of you, if I asked you on your campus to get on stage and just give a rudimentary explanation of what the pituitary gland is, what it's there for, like just help us understand it, how many of you have enough information you could explain the pituitary gland? Just raise your hands up. Hardly any of us, right? Few doctors, few nerds on campuses, way to go, if you could come up. Really, that's a good picture of really where we're at in the church nowadays, I think, when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Most of us would say, even if you didn't grow up in church, you'd say, I've heard of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know it's there. It's got to be there for something good, probably useful. There's probably something awesome there. But when it comes to understanding the Holy Spirit, to be able to explain who this Holy Spirit is, many of us, the Holy Spirit's very mysterious and, I think, pretty misunderstood. And so that's why we are in this series called Wind and Fire, is to really talk about and not just understand the Holy Spirit, but for us to experience the Holy Spirit more in our lives. And if there's anything I think that should cause us to lean in when it comes to the idea of understanding the Holy Spirit more, it would be this verse in John chapter 16, verse 7. It's Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says this to his disciples, he says it to us. But I tell you the truth, it's for what? It's for your benefit. It's for our benefit that I'm going away. Jesus is like, I'm going to leave. You'll no longer have me right here with you, but that's for your benefit. And we're thinking, how on earth could that be for our benefit that you're not right next to us helping us? I mean, Jesus, think about the disciples. They're like, Jesus, you've been teaching us. You've been like explaining scripture. You've been, comforting us. All these miracles going on. You're healing people like crazy. How on earth could it be to our benefit that you're going to take off and leave us? And Jesus goes on to explain. He goes, here's why. Unless I go away, the advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, I just think this verse should almost cause us, it should blow our minds. I really believe that. Because what Jesus is trying to say is that the Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus right beside you. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And many of us, we just have a hard time. We just kind of gloss past that verse. We almost don't believe it because if I gave you the choice, would you either have Jesus next to you all day long helping you or the Holy Spirit in you? A lot of us are going, I'll go with Jesus next to me. Why? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is so impersonal to us. It's so impersonal. We miss out on who the Holy Spirit is. And that's because, watch, many of us miss the benefits of the Holy Spirit because we view him as an it versus a who. We miss that the Holy Spirit is designed to be so personal, just like, and according to Jesus, better than him right next to you. And many of us, again, what we talked about last week, just to review, is that if you miss out on the Holy Spirit being personal, you'll miss out on the Holy Spirit's promptings in your life. That God's speaking into your life all the time about where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do, about this, and we just miss out on it. And so we called this series Wind and Fire because those are two images we get throughout Scripture. And I love the image of wind. It's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. And if you think about the Holy Spirit described as wind, it's kind of like, well, how does that help me? Until you understand how powerful wind is. I gave you an example last week with a sailboat. I thought I'd give you another visual today. How many of you remember growing up as a child and you'd go out and fly a kite? I was actually thinking, do kids even fly kites anymore? It's like we have technology nowadays. Maybe they just like are on technology. I don't know. But when I was a child, I grew up in a town of about 1,000 people. It was a really small town. So let's just say there was not a lot to do, and I became a kite flyer. I mean, I was flying kites all the time. There was nothing to do. My mom would go to the store, and she would buy these 99-cent flights, or kites. They were so cheap, right? And I would get them, and you remember putting these together? You just kind of make sure you put this. There's like only one thing to put in there. And once you got it set, you're ready to go. But when you get outside, what is the only thing that matters if you want to get this kite up in the air, soaring up in the sky? The wind. The wind is what matters. I mean, without the wind, this thing is not going to soar. I mean, but as a kid, you didn't know that. So you'd walk outside, there's no wind. I remember walking outside, my dad's like, hey, son, there's no wind outside. No use taking the kite out. And I'm thinking like, oh, I'll show you. I'll get this thing up in the air, you know? And here's what many of us, you remember this? You can actually get this up in the air for just a moment if you run fast enough, right? You remember this? I mean, you could run as fast as you could. I could run across the stage right now, and I could get this in the air. You want to see it? Oh, you've never seen anybody run so fast. I'm sure I could get this in the air just for a second, and then that's kind of what happens, right? I mean, I know your pastor's fast, but I mean, you know, it's like, eventually, this is a picture of some of us. Listen, we are running so hard in our lives, trying to get our lives to soar, trying to get things to work. And eventually, we run hard, and it's like we think something's happening, and then it all comes crashing down. And that's what always happens when you live your life apart from the Holy Spirit working in your life, moving in your life. You're going to run hard, and eventually it's going to come crashing down. And to be honest, that's where some of you are at. That's where some of you are. You've got a marriage that you are working so hard. You're doing everything you can do. And yet somehow it just keeps crashing down. Your work, I mean, you're working as hard as you can. Your life, your family, your kids, anxiety. You know, you're doing everything you can do, and yet sometimes you find yourself on the floor, literally on the floor, anxious, depressed. And I just want you to hear something here today, is that until you invite God's Holy Spirit to move in your life, you can run as hard as you want, and you'll never find your life soaring. And so last weekend, we talked about, and if you missed it, I would highly encourage you to go watch that message. We talked about listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to shift gears. I want to talk to you about the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, the disciples are kind of talking about what happened right before Jesus died. And the early church is getting ready to start, and they say this. They say, on one occasion, while they're talking about Jesus, was eating with them, that's the disciples, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus was teaching them all the time about the Holy Spirit. But listen to what Jesus says. Don't you dare lift one finger in my name to do anything on this earth until you've received the Holy Spirit. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. And so today, I'm going to give you three promises that the Holy Spirit gives us in our life. Three promises what the Holy Spirit will do. If you're taking notes, here's the very first one. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. You know, the longest discourse in Scripture about the Holy Spirit comes from the book of John, chapters 14 and 16. And it's Jesus talking about and teaching us about the Holy Spirit. And at the very end of chapter 16, after he gets done teaching about the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us this really comforting verse. You know, it's a verse that you might want to put on your bumper sticker, on a car, or maybe on your mirror somewhere. Jesus says this, it's pretty awesome. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Isn't that encouraging? Let's put that up somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. You know, but Jesus is keeping it real because that's what Jesus does. I mean, is there anybody here that would say, you know what, if I look back on my life, it's actually been trouble-free. I mean, it's just been smooth sailing the whole time. No. And I think sometimes, you know, people look at me, they look at a pastor and they say, well, it's probably been for you. Not even close. I mean, I struggle with all the same things anybody does. You know what I mean? If I look back on my life, I mean, we've had deep, deep struggles in our family. When early on in my marriage, it was rough. I mean, we've had kids that have really struggled. We've had, you know, health crises that have really hit us to our core. We've lost loved ones. I mean, this world is going to have trouble, and you're going to have trouble too. And I don't know where it started for you. For many of you, it started with the childhood abuse that you experienced that maybe you've never even shared with anybody, and it just caused havoc, you know, throughout your life. Or maybe it started with you early in marriage. Or maybe it's right now in a marriage that you've got some struggles going on. For some of you, you'd like to ship your kids to Yugoslavia. That's how rough it is right now. I mean, it's tough. Some of you are struggling constantly with, you know, with an addiction or some other struggle. The question is not, will I have trouble? That's an irrelevant question. All of us know that. The only question is this. What matters is this. Where will I find comfort? I mean, think about it. You're going to have trouble. The only question is, where are you going to turn for your comfort? Because you have to turn somewhere, and you're going to turn somewhere for comfort. And where some people turn, and maybe this is you turn to a drug. Or you turn to something that's in a bottle. Where so many of us maybe turn is we turn to work. You become a workaholic and you think your work is going to take away a wound and not allow you to focus on it because you can just work so much that you don't have to think about the trouble in your life. Or, you know, this is something that kind of slips some of our minds. The reason that you're shopping so much, the reason you're online or in a store so many times is because when you purchase an item, do you understand, in your mind, in your body, there's a release. And for a moment, it takes away the trouble. And so we get addicted to shopping and purchasing things and always having something new and taking the next vacation. Some of us, we get into a hobby, and it's that hobby takes up all of our time because if we're in the hobby, maybe we don't have to think about the hurt. You know what I think the biggest one, though? I think many of us are looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right. If you're single here today, you might be searching for Mr. or Mrs. Right because your assumption is that when you meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, they'll take away everything that's wrong. Is that true? Let me just kind of ask the married people here today. You know, is that, you're already hearing the laughter. You're like, no, that's not even close. As a matter of fact, when I got married, they brought some wrong, okay? They brought some more wrong. Or they started pointing out things that were wrong about me. I didn't even know. I mean, this is like, it's crazy. And I thought it was going to be different because if I met Mr. and Mrs. Right, I mean, isn't that what? No. So where are you searching for your comfort? You have to search for it somewhere. And wherever you're searching today, wherever you're finding your comfort, here's a question I just kind of want you to wrestle with. Is what you're finding comfort in really bringing a comfort that lasts? And I mean really. Like, sure, you know, you can go drink enough that it will take, do you understand? It will actually take away and numb your pain and your trouble for a moment. Or you can go, you know, sleep with someone else, or you can go experience that, you know, big thing that it feels exotic. And guess what? It will take away your trouble for a moment. But when you wake up the next morning, is your trouble still there? You know the answer. It's just waiting for you. And so you can keep medicating and keep masking, but you're not dealing actually with the root of your trouble. That's why it's always still there. And you have to seek more and seek that. And you're just kind of escalating up the chart of like, oh, I got to have more alcohol now and eat, drink more, or take a more pill or make a bigger vacations or a bigger hobby, or I got to move up the org chart even more. Where are you finding your comfort? There's a God that knows your name, and he knows your trouble, and he knows how to comfort you, and he alone. And understand the promise of the Holy Spirit. One of the promises we have of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit would come and comfort us. I mean, listen to what it says in John 14:16. This is Jesus. He says, I will ask the Father, it's a promise, and he will give you another what? Say it out loud. Advocate. This is the word that, this is the word we're given for the Holy Spirit. You know what the word advocate means? Here's what it means. The word advocate means comforter. It means counselor, helper. Literally, think about it this way. When you have the Holy Spirit and you're living according to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in you, you have a comforter, God, with you all day long in every single situation, every single moment to bring you comfort. In the Roman world, this Greek word advocate, I love, because in the Roman world, the way they would use that word is when you got in so much trouble that you were sitting in a court of law, you would be given an advocate to come advocate for you, to comfort you, to be your guide. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do all the time for you if you'll turn to the Holy Spirit for your help. The problem is, that's just not where we often turn. And we turn everywhere else besides the Holy Spirit for our comfort. And yet, listen to what Jesus says. He says, peace I leave you. Peace I'm going to give you. I want to give you peace. And he says this talking about the Holy Spirit. That's how we have peace. But watch what he says next. I don't give you, what's he saying? I don't give you peace as the world gives it. Which means if you turn to everything else in this world for your comfort and your peace, you'll never have it. You ever seen somebody that is going through something so horrific? I mean, you can't even fathom what they're going through. It's so terrible, the situation or what happened to them or what happened to their family or their finances, and yet you watch them and they have peace in the midst of it. You ever seen anybody like that? This past month, I watched a family in our church. John and his wife Nancy, the Lees family. I watched them tragically, in a moment's notice, lose their son. And I can't think of many things that are worse than a parent having to bury one of their kids. As a matter of fact, for many of us that are parents, that's one of the worst things you could, I mean, that's one of your greatest fears. And it happened out of the blue, unexpectedly. It was tragic. And yet, as I talked to John, I saw a peace and a comfort about him that I can't explain. As a matter of fact, I went to the funeral 2 weeks ago, and I sat and watched John, who's the father of this young man who passed away. I watched him give the eulogy for his son. And what I saw and what every person in that funeral experienced was a man who had peace and comfort that is unexplainable. How did he have it? If you went up and asked John, and you can do this, if you asked him, he would say, it is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in me that's comforting me. Is that where you find your comfort? God in you. Is that where you turn? Because that's the promise, is that God wants to comfort you. Let me tell you the second promise that I think we have all throughout Scripture when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And here's what it is. The Holy Spirit will counsel you. Anybody else need some counsel? Listen to what we're told about the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, this is Jesus again, comes, he will what? Guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit is designed to guide us. You know, I was thinking about my own life. I was thinking, I wouldn't even be able to describe the number of times I found myself in a situation that I had to make a choice. I needed guidance, and I had no idea what I was supposed to do. I mean, I needed to be guided. The thing that popped in my mind this last week, and I can't remember if I've told you this or not, but it was almost 13 years ago that I was presented with two churches that were talking to me about coming on staff and pastoring there. And I had to make a decision. And I, in my mind, thought I knew the right decision. And it was not CCV. It's not because I didn't love CCV. It's not because I didn't know about CCV. It's just this other church was much more comfortable for me. I knew so much more about it, and I could see it working. When I looked at CCV, I just couldn't see it working. I didn't think it was going to work. And so I was, in my mind, decided this is where I'm supposed to go. But at that point in my life, I had learned enough, mainly through messing up, that when Ashley guides, things go wrong really quick. But when God guides and I allow God to guide me, so much tends to go right. So I began praying, because I knew I had the Holy Spirit. I knew God wanted to guide me. That's the promise. So I said, God, would you guide me in this decision? I want to be open between these two different churches. Help me decide which one. But I know which one I think's right, God. And as I began praying, God began guiding me to CCV. And you know what my reaction was? I was mad. Because I didn't see how, God, no, this isn't what I see. And I was so upset that what I did is I sat down with my wife. You can ask her this story. I sat down with her, and I remember when I was going to make the decision because I wanted to go on record with God. I want you to hear this. So I told my wife, I want you to hear this, and I was really talking to her. This is the dumbest decision I've ever made in my life. God, I want you to hear that. Because when it doesn't go right, I want you to know I said it. That was almost 13 years ago. And outside of choosing Jamie as my wife, choosing to come here to CCV has been one of the best decisions I've ever made in my entire life. Yeah. Let me say it more accurately. It was one of the best decisions I didn't make. It's one of the best decisions I allowed God to guide me. Do you understand what's at stake in your life if you rely on your guidance versus the guidance of the Holy Spirit in you? Do you understand that I would not be on stage right now speaking to you about the Holy Spirit if I did not allow the Holy Spirit to guide me? That's what's at stake. Where do you need guidance? I mean, for example, like, where do you need God's counsel in your life? Like, what is it for you? You know, for many of you, it maybe is that you need counsel with what school to go to. I mean, you don't know. Or what you're supposed to major in. Or you need counsel with who to date. Or if you should date. Or if you should break up with that date. You need counsel with your work. Where should I go to work? Should I stay at my job? Should I leave my job? Should we sell the house? Should we stay in the house? God, how do I mend this marriage? I need guidance. Because I've been doing it on my own, and it's all messing up, right? It's all messed up. God, I need guidance with this business decision. Should I take the deal? Should I turn down the deal? We need guidance so often in this world, and the question is, where are you turning for your guidance? Because we can rely on ourselves. I mean, we can't. We think we're so smart, right? We talked to the previous series about pride. We get so prideful. And yet, so oftentimes, we don't turn to the Holy Spirit to guide us. You want to know why? Let's be honest. It's mysterious. You know, we don't hear audible voices. So, like, how am I supposed to know? And we have to wrestle through the idea of God, guide me. And because it's mysterious, we just don't turn to the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, here's what I wrote in my notes. We often turn to Google for guidance 10 times more than we do God's Spirit. I mean, that's just the truth, right? When you need an answer, you Google it. We don't, like, say, God, let your Holy Spirit guide me. That feels too mysterious. That's not tangible enough. Because remember, we don't think the Holy Spirit's that personal, speaking into our lives. And we're missing the guidance that God wants to give us. I love this verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 30, 21 says this. And it's God speaking to the nation of Israel. But I think it's so applicable. It's just as applicable to us today. He says this, whether you turn to the right or the left. That's us. That's our lives, right? Should I go right, left? God, right, left, right, left. Which one? Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Isn't that what you want? A voice from God in your life, that personal going, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do, right or left. Choose right. No, choose left. God, help guide me. And the promise we have is that the Holy Spirit will guide you. That's how personal God is. I say it this way sometimes. God wants to speak into your life more than you actually even want to hear him. That's how much he wants to speak. But we have to rely on the Holy Spirit more. The third thing that the Holy Spirit, we're promised, is going to do in our lives. This is the best for last. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Isn't that good? He'll convict you. You know those situations you're in where, you know, you're not sure what you should do, if you should be in that situation, if you should be with that person in that situation, and you just don't feel like something's right. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. I mean, listen to the promise we're given of what the Holy Spirit will do. John 16, 8, Jesus says this, and when he comes, hey, he's coming. And he's here. When he comes, he will what? Convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you when you're doing something that is outside of what God wants you to do. And he'll convict you of God's righteousness, which if something's right, you know you should be doing something. And he's also going to convict you of the coming judgment, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But understand that there's a day coming when we won't be on this earth anymore. Our lives will be done, and we'll stand before a holy and righteous God. And what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life when you're here on this earth is going to convict you of your need for God, that one day this life is not all there is. You're going to be in front of God, and you better make sure that you're right with God. Do you allow yourself to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life? And again, the problem is, we would say this, if Jesus was right next to me, and if he audibly told me that's wrong, then I wouldn't do it. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we think, well, that's just too mysterious. I think that's just it's just another burrito. It was probably a bad meal. I think I'll do what I want. I mean, for you animal lovers out there, if you have let's use an example. Let's say you have a dog, right? And you walk in the house and you catch your dog on top of the table, literally eating the meal that you prepared, and he's literally eating, what is that dog gonna do immediately? What do dogs do? And they immediately, put their head down. I mean, they know they did something wrong, right? Your voice speaks into their life, and the conviction's there. You see it in their eyes. They kind of like get real low. I mean, dogs, that's just how they react. Now, if you have a cat, on the other hand, okay? You know this, okay? If you have a cat in the hand, what's a cat gonna do? If you catch them in the act, eating on the table, your food. The cat will try to get a few more bites before running off guilt-free. There's no conviction at all. None, I'm serious, right? And that's how we know cats are from the devil, all right? No conviction there. That's two cat jokes, two weekends in a row, all right? And I can just see the emails coming my way right now, you know. I have a cat, and delete. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Okay. Settle down. Love dogs and cats, okay? We love them. I'm really not trying to, like, rip on cats. But just go with me for a second, okay? I mean, because you're laughing because you know it. You know it. You know the difference, right? I mean, if you own a dog, you own a dog. If you have a cat, the cat owns you, right? I mean, you're there to serve that cat. When it comes to you and God, do you operate more like a dog or more like a cat? When you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when you hear God's voice, the prompting, that feeling, do you operate under the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Or do you operate a little differently? Do you operate like, you know what, God, you're here to serve me. And you're here to get on board with what I want to do, God. And I'm not going to listen to your convictions because this is my life and I'm going to do what I want. You see where I'm heading here? If you miss listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll miss the best life God has for you. Because remember, God's conviction in your life is not because he's a killjoy. God's conviction in your life is because he wants to keep you away from what's not best in your life. You have to trust that with everything in you. Are you listening to the conviction of God in your life? Every time I've listened to God convict me, I've had peace. When I've listened. You know, I was thinking this past week, there's been times that, you know, Jamie and I have gotten in an argument and I know what she did wrong. And I'm not gonna allow God to convict me of what I did wrong because it wasn't that big of a deal. And I've literally been in my office preparing for a message and I feel like God saying, because I'm living according to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you need to call your wife and apologize. Thinking, God, you call my wife and apologize. You know, I'm like, you know? So, and yet if, when I've operated according to the promptings, the convictions of the Holy Spirit, I'm just telling you it brings peace. But here's what I want to do for just a moment. I want to speak to some of you that are feeling conviction on a deeper level. Here's what I want to speak into your life today. Actually, God wants to speak into your life today. There's some of you here today that feel the conviction that you actually don't have God in your life. You feel convicted because you've never really gone all in with Jesus. You've kind of been sitting on the sidelines. You've been checking out church. You've kind of been playing the game a little bit, but you've never gone all in and given your life to Jesus and been baptized. And so here's what you wonder, and I want this to sit with you a little bit because I think it's a great question. You wonder, do I have the Holy Spirit in me? And please hear my heart on this. If you've never gone all in with God, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and been baptized, please hear my heart. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You sense the Holy Spirit on occasion. God's been knocking on your door. And you kind of feel his presence on occasion, especially when you're in church around other Christians. But do you understand, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You don't. It's the difference between, you know, feeling a Ferrari, you know, drive past you. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can hear the engine. But there's a difference between that and sitting in the seat with the power available to you. And so what I want to just tell you, and what I want you to just wrestle with today is today the day that you need to decide to invite God's Holy Spirit to live inside you. Because until you do, understand this life will never be what God intended it to be. And you have that hole we talk about sometimes, you're filling it with all this stuff. But until you invite God in, you'll never have the Holy Spirit. And remember, this world is rough. I mean, you need comfort. This world is confusing. You need counsel. You know that. And this world is ending. And you need God in you. Because one day you'll stand before a holy God. And the only thing that's going to matter is God's going to say, did you turn your life over to me, invite me into your life? And the only way you have any of these things is through the Holy Spirit in you. Does that describe your life? Are you 100% sure that you have the Holy Spirit? It's a promise. It's available to you. Think about it this way. In Ephesians chapter 1:13, it says this, when you believed, you were marked with him with a seal. There's a seal. What's the seal? It's the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. This is what this verse is saying. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you turn your life over to Jesus, you have the seal of God on your life, which is a deposit that one day when you get to heaven, you get to turn in that deposit and God welcomes you into heaven. But it only happens when you have the Holy Spirit. And some of you go, well, I don't know. How can I receive the promise of the Holy Spirit? Scripture is crystal clear. Let me just read it for you. Let God speak into your life, not me, okay? Listen to Acts 2:38. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. When you repent, which means to make a U-turn, you drive a stake in the ground and say, God, I'm tired of doing life my way. I'm going to decide to follow you and do it your way. You're Lord, God. I'm going to invite you to be Lord, and I'm going to get baptized as a symbol of what you did for me, that I'm going to die to myself. I want to come out of the water. I'm a new person, God. I'm living for you now. And watch what happens when you do that. This is God's word, not me. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the verse. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's a question. Have you ever done that? And if you've been holding off, some of you are holding off because you're like, my life's a mess. My life's a mess. When I get my life in order, then I'll repent and get baptized. Then I'll be worthy. Wrong. It's a free gift. And by the way, the verse goes on to say this. It's so crystal clear. This is the very next line. The promise of the Holy Spirit for you is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Anyone who feels far away from God, the promise of the Holy Spirit is available to you today if you would simply repent and be baptized. Remember Candace's story? I mean, you saw Candace. She said, I finally just said, God, I can give my life to you. And she said, when I got baptized, do you remember her words? I felt the rush of the Holy Spirit into my life. And that's what some of you need today. And so as I was preparing this message, I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit to say, I cannot preach to you about the Holy Spirit without giving you a chance to receive the Holy Spirit. And so today, I'm going to challenge those of you that have never repented and been baptized. And maybe you've believed at some point, but belief doesn't give you the Holy Spirit. It's repenting, it's belief, repenting, and getting baptized. And some of you are like, well, I go to church. I mean, doesn't that give me the Holy Spirit? No, I mean, that's like showing up to a Cardinals game and sitting in the stands going like, I'm at a Cardinals game. I'm a Cardinals player now. It's time for some of you to get in the game. And you get in the game, you receive the Holy Spirit by repenting and declaring Jesus as your Lord and confessing your sins and getting baptized. And I want to challenge those of you who have never done that to do that today. So today, on all of our campuses, after the service, we have pastors ready, our baptism's ready. We'll baptize you anytime, by the way, but some of you, what I just feel the conviction of is you should not go another day without receiving the Holy Spirit. That's how important it is in your life. And so today, after the service, we have a change of clothes for anybody who wants to get baptized. I'm just going to challenge you to go out and you get with one of our pastors, you go to our baptistry. We will make sure that we help you because I want to make sure you have the promise of the Holy Spirit in your life without a shadow of a doubt. When that happens, understand, you'll no longer be running on your own trying to get that kite in the air. You'll all of a sudden have the wind of God's Spirit in you, and your life will begin to soar like never before. Let me pray. Father, I want to pray for very specifically for the man or woman in the audience right now that just knows their heart's beating a little bit fast. They just know that they do not have the Holy Spirit because they've never turned their life over to you. And so, Father, help them to understand that you don't get your life in order to receive the Holy Spirit. God, we accept the free gift of the Holy Spirit by repenting and being baptized, and that's what actually helps us get our life in order. And so I pray for the man or woman here today that needs to take that step. Would you give them the courage to do that? And God, for the rest of us, those of us that have been following Jesus for a while, would you help us to understand that we can turn to your Spirit for comfort and counsel like never before? Help us to understand how personal you really are, living in us, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all this now in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, CCV, we're going to continue the series next week, Wind and Fire. Until then, go out and live according to the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a great week, everybody.